The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library with additional support from Clark County Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, and Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. I'd like to welcome to the program today Brad Tilson. His new book is The Dayton Book Guys, How a Group of Men Bonded Through Books. He joins us on the telephone in North Carolina. Welcome to the program, sir.
I'm glad to be with you.
Brad, I'm sure some of our listeners perked up when they heard your name. You were in this area for many years, and I'm sure some of them remember you, and I'm wondering if you could give us like a brief biography of yourself before we start talking about your book.
Sure. I arrived in Dayton in 1971 as a fledgling journalist working at the Dayton Daily News. I spent the next 32 years there and worked my way up from reporter to editor to publisher.
So you went all the way to the top.
I did.
Nice.
It was a great career. It probably could not be duplicated today.
Uh-huh. And you retired in 2003?
I did, at the end of 2003.
Okay. And what led you to write this book?
Well, it's a group that I was with for 20 years, an all-male book group, many of them very, very good friends of mine. And I thought that the group was sufficiently unique and interesting that I could make a book out of it. I'd never written a book before, and I kind of was eager to give that a try as well.
Did I just hear you use the past tense? Is the group no longer together?
No, I didn't mean to use the past tense. It is very much alive and well, and these days zooming. It's not meeting in person like many groups.
Who are the Dayton Book Guys? How did they form?
The group was started in late 1999, early 2000, by a Dayton lawyer named John Siebley. John is a voracious reader, like many of us, and he got the idea that he would bring a bunch of his male friends or their male friends together to have dinner once a month and talk about a book. It was his idea that it would be all male, and he started out by inviting three good friends to join him in the process, and then that grew pretty quickly to 10 of us, and eventually, over 20 years, there were 25 guys in the group. The book covers the period of those first 20 years and then wraps up in 2021 when, of course, things got a little bit different, and it talks about where the guys were at that point. But the group continues, and I think that it's going to meet in person for the first time in well over a year, in September of this year.
All right. Are you going to have a retreat this year?
Yes, that's the plan. We will meet in Michigan at the end of September, as was our custom before the pandemic.
And that is one aspect of this group that I think is somewhat unique for book clubs. You have these monthly meetings in which a member of the group will choose a book, and also the venue where you're going to discuss at the restaurant, usually, where you're going to have your meeting. But once a year or twice a year, you've been having these retreats, and this has really made a difference as far as bringing you closer together and getting to know each other better, right?
I think the retreats transformed the group fundamentally. We were a bunch of guys who like to get together and eat and drink and talk about books. But once we started spending weekends together outside of Dayton, we really became more like brothers and like family, and we became very close. And it created a dynamic that I think makes the group somewhat unique.
And initially, these retreats were in Michigan. One of your members had a place up there, and I take it you'd go up there for a weekend during pretty nice weather and just spend the whole weekend together.
Yes, John Seeble has a house in Michigan, and actually added a guest residence to his compound while over the last 20 years, and he could accommodate us up there. So that's where our first retreat was. Then, within a couple of years, a member of the group, who happened to be a travel company owner, found out about a bed and breakfast in southeast Ohio in the Hocking Hills and made the suggestion that we might want to do retreats twice a year and in the spring go to the Hocking Hills. And we started doing that, and up until the pandemic, have done that every year since.
Describe a typical retreat. What happens?
Well, at a retreat, you have all the things that happen at a dinner. You've got eating and drinking and talking about books. Usually at the retreats, we would do two books. But what really changed the group, I think, is what happened between those meals. In Michigan, John's place sits up on a high bluff overlooking Lake Michigan. And there are areas where you can walk around and a lot of interesting areas within a short driving range of his place. So we would generally up there, we would spend time walking around or going to state parks and hiking through the dunes or visiting. There are several wineries up in that area, and we would visit those. But generally just going around together and seeing things and having a good time. Then we'd also just spend a lot of time sitting around talking, not necessarily about the book, but about any subject that interests us. And so that Michigan really took us to a different level. Hocking Hills was a different experience in some ways, in that we were not at a private home, but we were able to take over an entire building with I think 10 or 12 rooms in it. And we would spend time talking about the books. We also did a lot of hiking. Hocking Hills State Park is there, and it's a lovely area to hike. And we would go on fairly lengthy hikes, and as I say in the book, they were really rolling discussions. And as we walked along, two or three guys would walk together and talk, and then those two or three would move to another group of guys. So it was really a rolling discussion with different characters as you walked for, two or three hours. And and also the food at the end was outstanding. So we had excellent meals too. The guys do like their food and drink.
Mm-hmm. In case you're just tuning in, my guest is Brad Tilson. We're talking about his book, The Dayton Book Guys: How a Group of Men Bonded Through Books. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, your source for public service journalism and music discovery. And Brad, you described the history of the group. You weren't in it at the beginning, but you've been in it for quite a while. And initially, the group was men, of course, but they were all white males. And as the group expanded, as the years passed, you became more diverse and you began choosing more diverse books to read. Tell us about that.
Yes, the group initially was... I really date the group from the first 10 guys who were in the group by the middle of the year 2000. And all 10 of them were white males, professionals, college-educated, in what I would say was middle to upper-income brackets. They were, by and large, with one notable exception, a fairly liberal group politically. We were, as we went along, we were conscious of the lack of diversity in the group and felt that that diminished it. And so we made several conscious decisions to diversify the group. Initially, we diversified it by age. We were all in our 50s and 60s. Toward the end of our careers, some beginning to retire. And we were conscious of the fact that if we wanted this group to be vibrant for a long time, we needed some young blood. So we brought in some guys in their 40s. Then we talked consciously about diversifying the group in terms of race and ethnicity. And the first thing we did was we brought in two African Americans, men several of us knew, and we thought that they would be comfortable coming into a previously all-white group. Then we brought in fairly quick order, a Palestinian American and a Chinese American. One of the members that we added to the group was openly gay, so that added a different kind of diversity. So by the end of the 20 years, we were a fairly diverse group.
And looking at your roster, I live here in Yellow Springs, so you have a number of members from Yellow Springs or former members from Yellow Springs. So I knew all these guys and some of the Daytonians as well. In fact, you're the third member of your group that has appeared on this program. So, I've had Jay Rothman on, and of course Ron Rollins has been on the show. Yeah, so. You're definitely book guys. Let's talk about the discussions. What are they like?
I just have to comment on what I call the Yellow Springs cohort.
Okay.
We joked at times that one of the ways we were not diverse was in the number of people we had from Yellow Springs in the group, and that we really needed to not bring any more Yellow Springs guys. We were just joking, of course, but I think at times about a third of the active members were residents of Yellow Springs. And I looked today before we talked, and I believe that there are six Yellow Springs residents currently active in the group.
And you moved away from the area, and yet you've stayed active in the group, and so have others, Bob Brekka, for instance.
I have. Like I say, the group really bonded, so we became family. And when people moved away, they didn't want to lose touch. Some people, for various reasons, weren't able to be in month-to-month touch. Others were closer touch and attended the retreats. I've attended most of the retreats since I left Dayton. Others kind of dropped in and out from time to time. We tried to keep everybody on our email list and included. In a few cases, we rebonded with guys as part of the book process. But I think it speaks to the bond that even after all these years, most of the guys are still in touch.
You have an appendix at the end of the book that shows most of the books that you've covered, and it's quite an impressive list. And I'm curious to know about the discussion aspect of these books and whether you'd be willing to talk about some particular books that you recall that really elicited incredible discussions. What were those like, and what were the books?
Yes, it's been interesting to me. Most of the people who've read the book and have talked to me about it afterward, quite surprising to me, have not mentioned about my deathless prose, but most of them have mentioned the list of books as being one of the most interesting parts of the book. And I understand that, because if you're a reader, if you love books, then any list of books will grab your attention. And this is a fairly eclectic list of books. I think about 30% of them are fiction and the rest nonfiction. And they're virtually every genre you can imagine. We have a couple of science fiction books in there. I don't think we have anything that would be considered romance fiction, but just about everything else. And we have a lot of biography, history, a lot of science and ecology. We have many books on religion, politics, economics. It's a pretty interesting list. And the people who have read it have commented that they've picked out books that they intend to read based on the list. One of the things that surprised me about the group as we matured was I came to realize that great books didn't necessarily make great discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And while we read a lot of really good books by outstanding authors, they didn't necessarily make for the best discussions. One of the discussions that I use as the one that I talk about in the chapter about discussions was about a book that I hardly remembered at all, to be honest. But the book and the guy who picked it organized the discussion in a unique way that resulted in one of the most amazing discussions about anything that I've ever had in my life. And there are many discussions like that where you would be surprised because the book isn't necessarily a bestseller or an award-winning book, but it has sparked a great discussion. And that's not to say that some of the really great books didn't have good discussions too. But it wasn't necessarily a given.
In the book, you mentioned the fact that after the group diversified and you had other races included, that you covered more books about race and you got into more discussions about race, and that some of these went pretty deep.
Yes, they did. The inclusion of particularly the African-American members of the group really, I think, changed the nature of discussions about race. As I said, this is a pretty liberal group, so our views on race would be considered progressive. But having people at the table who had lived the experience of being African American in America changed and really deepened the discussion in ways that a bunch of white guys couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that really changed, I think, the way we discussed race and also the frequency with which we discussed it. Although we had picked books that touched on race or were about race before the two new members came in, after that, there were significantly more books on the topic.
Well, I was certainly impressed reading your appendix of books at how many of these books were by authors that I've had interviews with on this program. I was thrilled to see how many of these books I had read, and you really have picked some pretty amazing books on this list. And I know you kind of steer clear of the fiction, and that's pretty much a demographic thing. Men tend to read nonfiction. That tends to be their preference. Women read a lot more fiction. In fact, women read a lot more books, according to statistics, than men do. You guys are big readers as far as men go, and occasionally you would pick a novel. Now, what's the reluctance about fiction within the group? Are there some guys that never pick a novel?
Yes, and there are a few guys who prefer to pick fiction.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I talk about in the book is that we went through a period midway through the first 20 years where we had what I describe as a midlife crisis. And it was really where we just got a little bit out of sync. It was from mundane issues like scheduling to important issues like the books we were choosing. Yeah. And there was disagreement within the group about how to proceed. And the process was a good process, and it turned out to be a positive for the group. But one of the subjects was fiction, and we had several members in the group who liked to read fiction, and they were not happy that we seemed to be moving away from fiction. I think I'm probably not going to get the numbers exactly right, but in our early years, almost half the books were fiction.
Oh.
And then it dropped down to maybe 20%. And the fiction lovers weren't happy about that. And we talked that issue through. And actually, in recent years, you can tell that there's been an effort to read more fiction. But I was interested that you seemed to indicate that it was a gender thing.
It is.
I hadn't realized that. But
yeah,
it definitely is an individual taste issue.
It certainly is. Just like the majority of book clubs, private book clubs, are all women. You cite that statistic in your book.
Yes. Yeah. Male groups are fairly unusual. The largest number is women, and then it would be co-ed groups after that. And to have an all-male group, while not unique, is unusual.
To what would you attribute that difference? Are men just more busy? Are they just not readers? I know you guys are all readers, but your typical guy, what do you think? Joe Sixpack, he's just not reading a book?
I would hesitate to generalize too much.
Okay.
I think John Seibley probably had it right. He was determined that it would be an all-male group. And we discussed at various times in our history whether we should consider bringing women in or do a meeting with spouses or significant others. And we didn't. We had some social occasions that were mixed, but we never had a book group meeting. Mm. John's view was that men together would be more likely to be open if there were not women. He felt that men, when women are present, tend to close down or become competitive.
No.
The wit and wisdom of John Seibley.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that was a real factor. And I, as I say in the book, I think that one of the key things that made the group what it is the fact that it was all male.
Mm. In case you're just joining us, this is the Book Nook. My guest today is Brad Tilson. We're talking about his book, The Dayton Book Guys, How a Group of Men Bonded Through Books. All right. The book's been out for a few months. Have you guys had a meeting about this book yet, Brad?
We have not per se. The book has not yet hit the New York Times bestseller list.
Okay.
And we joke among ourselves that probably we know almost everybody who's bought a copy.
Well,
The doing the book was really kind of an end in itself.
Uh-huh.
The book technically was published by the group we formed an LLC, and we are technically the publisher. It is on Amazon, and so you can buy it there. But we committed to doing the book and basically passed the hat to capitalize it.
Oh.
Because we thought it would be worth preserving the uniqueness of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, for me, I refer to it as a labor of love, because I love these guys and I love the group. And I had never written a full-length book before, even though I spent a lot of my career as a writer. And so I was excited about the prospect, and the guys were, if anything, amazingly open with me as we put the book together. I never had anybody ask me to keep anything out, and a lot of the material for the book, of course, occurred before people knew there was going to be a book. So. That, to me, indicates the high trust level that the guys have with each other.
Well, it's nicely done. There's lots of photos, and it's clear to anyone who reads it that there was a lot of participation from your fellow club members. You've got a lot of great quotes from them, a lot of stuff, material that looks like you acquired it as you were working on the book, and I'm sure that most of them are delighted with it.
People are generally very positive about the book, and a lot of the people who read it are readers and are book people.
Okay.
So reading a book about books is something that they enjoy. But I think people are, even though they know us, are a little bit surprised by things that they learn about us by reading the book.
Okay. Well, I have a confession to make. I attended one of your meetings.
And, you did?
Yes. I kept looking in the book for a mention of my name, and I wasn't in there, but I'm just teasing you. I was there at the Winds up above the wine cellar in 2013. Bob Barkas asked me to come, and you talked about you weren't at that meeting. You talked about
That's
Standing
right.
in Another Man's Grave by Ian Rankin. And I got to meet some of your members that night and had an absolutely wonderful meal and some glasses of very tasty wine. And I thought, you know, this is a pretty cool group. I liked it.
Well, thank you.
My guest has been Brad Tilson, and we've been talking about his book, The Dayton Book Guys, How a Group of Men Bonded Through Books. Okay, so you got the first book under your belt. Is there another one coming out of you sometime?
My next writing projects are all family projects.
Okay.
I'm doing a family biography of my parents, mainly for family posterity. I'm also working on a book about my family's involvement in the 1960s civil rights movement.
Oh.
And that's one that I think may have some commercial potential.
All right. Well, good luck with those projects.
Thank you.
My guest has been J. Bradford Tilson, Jr., or Brad Tilson, as I know him. And the book is The Dayton Book Guys, How a Group of Men Bonded Through Books. Thank you so much for your time today, Brad.
Thank you, Vic. It's been a pleasure.
For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.